have a fire training at the airport next Monday through Wednesday. We always like to warn you before someone flies in and sees something on fire. Next Monday through Wednesday, aircraft rescue and firefighting training will occur at the airport. So you will see fire and smoke. The training will be conducted from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. each day.
So do not worry when you see that going on at the airport next week. And I know Mike Wood, who is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, appreciates us reminding people that when you see weird stuff at the airport next week, don't be worried about it. He joins us now by phone here in Milwaukee. Back in Pensacola is Mike Wood, PIO for PPD. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So that's not the only training that's going to be going on. You all had a training that went on this week, right?
Yeah, all week. We're getting all the officers trained in active threat training, which is formerly known by law enforcement officers as active shooter training. That term was changed because we're training for threats other than just shooters. That's going on near Ascension Sacred Heart in a building that they no longer use, which is located behind the Ronald McDonald House. But everything is inside. There's nothing going on outside. So there'll be a lot of police cars parked over there, but that's about it. But yeah, very important training that we do annually, because every time one of these incidents happen throughout the United States or the world, we look at it and we try to take from it the good things that happen, the bad things that happen, and train and retrain our officers constantly.
Well, it's like so many other things, right? The repetitions, and then debriefing and training and practicing again. But also, you learn from the scenarios, and the more you do it, the better you are at doing it. Even if it's all simulation, that's still preparation. So that, because when the thing actually happens, I hate to take a current example, but you have the cop who climbs up on the roof and sees the would-be assassin, and then he points his gun at him, and then he climbs back down, and you think, well, maybe we could have practiced this a little bit more. You know, like, there's opportunities to learn from all of these events, right?
Well, what comes to my mind immediately is the horrific circumstances that happened in Uvalde, Texas. Mm-hmm. So maybe there wasn't a lot of training done there, but we want to train our officers to where there is no thinking about it. It's a split second decision. The first officer on the scene knows exactly what he or she must do. There is no hesitation. And the more we train, the more that's just going to automatically happen in the event, God forbid, the event that it happens in Pensacola.
Right. And, you mentioned something. You said that the nomenclature, we're changing the terminology from active shooter to active threat because there are other threats besides gunfire, which obviously, you know, there's all kinds of things that, wicked people can do. I've never been a big fan of the active shooter term. It seems actually, it's not your choice to make it. I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but it almost makes it too sanitary because, you know, here we have murderers or terrorists or, it just seems to me like the shooter is almost like how we talk about first person shooter games. You know, it's just kind of it's just a thing. It doesn't capture the emotion of it and the danger of it. But I don't know, just personal observation. You don't have to respond. I'm just thinking out loud as we're talking. We did have, unfortunately, I guess last night you had a stabbing that turned into an arrest and some other unpleasantness.
Well, the officers responded to a house in the 900 block of North K Street for a stabbing. The victim was stabbed three or four times and was transported to Baptist Hospital, where the individual went into surgery. But an officer on the scene located the suspect. The suspect fled on foot. He was chased down and caught, and he resisted several officers. Things calmed down for a few moments, but then the individual decided to fight once again, and this time he bit one of the officers. So there were a couple of taser deployments right there. And, you know, this is something that we keep trying to say as often as we can. Please, please, please do not ever resist arrest because bad things happen. We don't want that to happen. But it happened again last night. So it looks like everybody, the victim, the officer is going to be okay.
You know, I always appreciate what your former boss, Chip Simmons, now the sheriff, of course, always says, that no arrest is pretty. And, some are worse than others. But, you know, we watch these videos, and I know you guys, there had been a video that came out recently with you guys, and it's just kind of like, so much can go wrong, so much can be unexpected, and people do the craziest, loopiest things, and they're like, well, why don't you just subdue them? Dude.
Yeah.
Why don't you come with me, do some ride-alongs, and I'll just go ahead and let you try. It's not going to happen, but, you know, let's see how you do, you know? So, Mike, I have a couple of, they're sort of odd questions, but here goes. Here's one. Somebody asked me last week, they wanted to know, if a pedestrian is in a crosswalk, obviously in Florida by law, you have to stop for them. But what if somebody, and if somebody is walking a bicycle across a crosswalk, they're a pedestrian with luggage, right? So you have to stop for them. But if somebody is riding a bike across a crosswalk, do you have to stop? And my answer to them was, well, they're a vehicle. They're not even supposed to be doing that at that point. But I wanted to check with you because they wanted an official answer. So what is the law on that?
You know, to be honest with you, I'd have to look that up. I'm familiar with if they're crossing it without riding it. They are a pedestrian. But whether they have the right of way or not, I got to be honest with you, I'd have to check on that because I simply don't know. Now, it would be the right thing to do if you see somebody riding across the road. Obviously, you need to put on the brakes and stop. Please don't hit them, whether you think they're doing the right thing or not. But most bicyclists out there, the majority know the rules of the road and abide by them.
Yeah, I think this person had had maybe somebody scolded them or something for not, I don't know, it's some kind of thing, and they just weren't sure what the law was either, and I wasn't 100% sure either. But I'm totally with you. When I'm teaching my boys to drive, I'm teaching them, rule number one, avoid the wreck, avoid the crash, protect the pedestrian, protect the bike. You know, no matter how wrong somebody is, try not to hit them. You know, that's your very, very, very first rule. Go ahead.
Well, what I want to say here is that these are pedestrian crosswalks, are called pedestrian crosswalks for a reason, and if a bicyclist was to ride across there, I believe, you know, that there's bicycle lanes, there's rules of the road, and they know that. So we'll leave it at that.
Question that, you know, actually Bobby and I had this question yesterday. We saw for the first time mounted police here in Milwaukee, and we have seen boat police, we have seen police on bikes. We have seen, obviously, police in the Bearcats. We've seen police on foot. We've seen, and I kind of made the joke online. I said, we've seen every kind of police transportation that I can imagine. As soon as I said that, I'm like, I bet I haven't. But it made me think about, maybe it's a little funny, but do your cops ever consider the use of the electric scooters? Because that seems like, it's a funny image compared to what you think of as the police presence. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, you know, they are common. They have maneuverability value. They're quick. You can get off them immediately if you need to, you know, be engaging. Even getting off of a bike can take a second or two. Do police ever and do PPD ever think about using the electric scooters?
I think that's something that we looked at many years ago. And then the movie Paul Blart Mall Cop came out.
On the Segway?
Yeah, and we ditched that idea. So not any time recently we haven't looked into that, but we've got we've got everything from officers walking to bicycles to motors and everything else. So we've got for the city of Pensacola, what we need to get around on, we are doing and we're able to do that effectively for what we need to do.
And I will say, seeing the many, many, many bicycle police here in Milwaukee riding around in their full gear, you know, full tactical vests, ballistic helmets, everything, it's an odd look, but of course I appreciate that they're here because they're doing a fantastic job. But I was just kind of curious about that. And there's nothing less. I think the mall security that rides the Segways think that's like impressive, and everybody else thinks that is anti-impressive. That's exactly the opposite. Well, I always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, Andrew, but it came up again yesterday. And so I've got to say it again, because one of our local residents not too long ago lost just over $200,000 of her life savings. So I want to make sure everybody knows the Pensacola Police Department will never, ever call you asking for money. They will never call you asking you to go get a gift card because one of your loved ones is in jail and they need you need the cash or the money to get them out. We will never tell you there's a warrant for your arrest and you can settle it over the phone with a gift card. That will never, ever happen. And if you know somebody who is an elderly person or someone in your family that may fall for something like this, please get with them. Yesterday, they were using the name of Lieutenant Bruce Martin, who is our internal affairs lieutenant, to make it seem real. They're also able to put numbers on your caller ID to make it look like it's coming from a local number and that it's coming from the Pensacola Police Department. So they're very sophisticated in the way that they are able to rip money off from these people. So, and obviously, it's easy to find out who works at the police department and be able to use their name. So we will never, ever ask for money or gift cards over the phone. That's just not something we do.
That's a great reminder. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for helping us understand, and you know, for the entire force for keeping us safe, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.